Thank you. Good evening. Welcome to our New Year's Eve service. It's great to see you here for this service of reflection and renewal as we once again celebrate the life we have from God. What a true gift. Speaking of gift, how's your short and long-term memory? Is one better than the other? God has a short and long-term memory as well. Thankfully, he uses his short-term memory when it comes to our sins. And he uses his long-term memory when it comes to keeping his promises. And that's what we want to reflect on tonight for this reflection and renewal service. To God be the glory as we close out one year by his grace, and by his grace enter into a new year. I invite your attention to the invocation on page 3. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees.
And I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. We worship tonight in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let us praise the Lord.
Our first hymn, Prepare the Royal Highway, can be found on page 11 of the bulletin. Back on page 3, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope.
My comfort and my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life.
Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues for all generations. You established the earth and did it.
How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth.
I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Reading from Holy Scripture, from Psalm 106, God has given us many blessings. And what do we tend to do with those blessings? What's the problem? What's the solution? Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise. We have sinned, even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promises and sang his praise. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. The word of the Lord. Reading from Holy Scripture, continued words from Psalm 106. In what ways are we similar to the children of Israel? What's the problem? What's the solution? In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. In the camp, they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It buried the company of Abiram. Fire blazed among their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. At Horeb they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them? Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his promise. They grumbled in their tents and did not obey the Lord. So he swore to them with uplifted hand that he would make them fall in the wilderness, make their descendants fall among the nations, and scatter them throughout the lands. They yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to lifeless gods. They aroused the Lord's anger by their wicked deeds, and a plague broke out among them. But Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was checked. This was credited to him as righteousness for endless generations to come. The word of the Lord. A reading from Holy Scripture, more from Psalm 106. Why would God continue to be patient with his people? What was their problem? What is our problem? What's the solution? By the waters of Meribah, they angered the Lord, and trouble came to Moses because of them. For they rebelled against the Spirit of God, and rash words came from Moses' lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs. They worshiped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to false gods. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves by what they did. By their deeds they prostituted themselves. Therefore the Lord was angry with his people and abhorred his inheritance. He gave them into the hands of the nations, and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected them to their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion, and they wasted away in their sin. Yet he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love he relented. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. From everlasting to everlasting, let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For our next hymn, Praise to the Lord Almighty, we'll sing verses 1 to 4. That hymn is found for us on page 12. Thank you. Dear friends, thankfully, from one year to the next, God's grace and His mercy and His peace remain ours in great abundance. And at the heart of that is our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose birth we were privileged to celebrate yet again, and all that comes with that promise kept. We want to focus back in on these words from Psalm 106, the first three verses. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life, past, present, and future. The transition to another year. It might be painless, it might be painful. All depends on your perspective on it. And with this transition, it's good for us to pause and reflect on the year that's leaving us, and also at the same time dedicate or rededicate ourselves for the year that's coming up. There's a valid reason to do this, because we want to find that proper balance of reminiscing and moving forward. Because we can reminisce too much and dwell on the past too much. And we can get too far ahead of us looking ahead. And so we have to find that balance of looking back and reflecting and giving thanks, while at the same time knowing our God is not a God of the past, but of the present and also the future. An example of this from the Bible, of not getting too caught up in just in the past and forgetting about the present and moving ahead, would be the children of Israel, after they came back from the Babylonian captivity. God had moved the Persian king, King Cyrus, to be very generous to the children of Israel. As an exile, a remnant of them would be able to go back to Jerusalem, their homeland, earthly homeland, and get to rebuild the temple along with their homes. And after the foundation of the temple had been laid out, many of the people rejoiced. What a great opportunity. Praise be to God that we get this opportunity to rebuild the temple that was destroyed. Now, it was a glorious temple that was destroyed, no doubt. But it was in the past, and it was just an earthly building. And at the same time, while many were celebrating what God had allowed them to do, knowing where they had been for 70 years, there were people wailing and going, "Oh, the glory days. It's not like that." They missed the point of where they had been and where they are. They were more focused on the building than on what it represented. Or another example, going the opposite, getting too far ahead of us, in the book of James, the Lord reminds us, we're going to do all this and that, and we're going to double this and double that, and go here and go there. And the Lord says, what is your life but a mist? Lord willing, you will be able to do this or do that. Don't get so far ahead of yourself that you missed the present. Well, in relation to really both extremes, but more so to the first one, the children of Israel, who should have been elated over the freedom that they have been able to celebrate once again, the prophet Haggai, by God's doing, wrote these words, and we'll add to them by a commentator from the People's Bible. Our God calls attention to the past. He even asks the question. This is what Haggai was led to write. Doesn't what exists today seem like nothing compared with what was? The point. Yet our God is not a God of the past, a has-been God. He works with us today. He is a God of the present. We are to be thinking of the present too. There is no dark age in the church. There is no golden age. There is instead the ever ongoing present age of the church in which God's people, moved by His Spirit, do what He wills and pleases. God offered His people a source of encouragement. And what did too many of the people do? By reflecting on the good old days, they deflated the balloon. Well, what's the point? It's not going to be like it was. Nothing is. If we live in the past, we miss the blessings of today. And if we live in the past, we can miss out on the blessings of the future. God is not a God of the past. He is a God of the present and the future. Now, the present may not be what it was in the past. It might be better. But sometimes in our stubbornness, we refuse to see that. How many of you would you like to redo your childhood? Weren't you eager to become an adult? And then when you're an adult, oh, I wish I was a child again. We humans are fickle. Why should God put up with us? But He does. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. How did the psalmist describe Him? He is that faithful God. He is good, and His love endures forever. That, dear friends, is the key to His faithfulness in our lives. His goodness and His love. And that's a good thought then for us to reflect on. As we take a moment to reflect on the past, to see God's goodness has still been there, and then as we move into the future, living in the present, knowing that God is there and will be there as promised. The key to all of this is His faithfulness. And at the heart of that faithfulness is the fact that God is good. Think about that. In the last year as a church, how has God been good to us? Well, for the most part, given the year before, we've been able to gather together inside for worship. Praise be to God for that. Not without purpose, the second was introduced, and God has blessed it immensely. Campus improvements are taking place. More are scheduled to take place as the Lord allows them to be filled. Who knows? He could come and end the world and those won't matter. God has blessed us with opportunities to share the gospel with people that we didn't know we'd have an opportunity to share the gospel with. And not just locally, but globally through our congregation mission offering. God has blessed us with the opportunity to not only gather inside for worship, but to hear His word preached and hear beautiful music from talented people and to celebrate His meal. For further assurance of forgiveness of sins and rejuvenation in our faith, to live our life for Him, knowing that eternal life is waiting for us. God has been good to us as a church. Individually, God has been good to us. Especially in the big picture of things. He keeps His promises. He provides food and clothing and shelter. As a society, God is good to us. Even in the face of a pandemic that keeps on going, He has provided medical means to combat it. He has provided people with smarts to help us deal with it. He's given us smarts to help us sort out fact from fiction. Even through the fires that he allowed to take place, healing of the land able to take place. And then he has blessed us with rain and snow beyond our comprehension at this point in time. God is good. And we could give other examples of how he has been good to us individually, as a society, as a church. But like the children of Israel, we seem to have short memories. And we cry out, God, when have you been good to us? And he says, hey, wherever two or three are gathered, I'm there with you. Maybe it's not jam-packed like it used to be, but what's still taking place? And maybe your individual life, maybe you're not as spring in step as you used to be, but is he still not good to his promises of watching over you and providing what you need as you need it? Give us this day our daily bread. God is good to us. He has been good to us. Through all the trials and tribulations of the year, his faithfulness remains. And the best example of God's goodness and his faithfulness, that comes in the salvation that he has won for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because again, what have we done to deserve such goodness? Such faithfulness from God. We are like the children of Israel. We're no different with our short memory of what God has done for us, with our wishing for the next thing before we even had a chance to enjoy the present thing. And yet, despite knowing how we would react to his blessings, he went ahead and kept that promise of sending his Son and laid upon his Son all of our complaining, all of our short-sightedness, all of our misuse of his blessings. And Jesus willingly took all of that to the cross. And all that has been paid for. Now God's short-term memory comes in. Those sins are not brought back against us. They have been paid for in full. And all the sins that you and I are still yet to commit, by the grace of God, those are forgiven too. That's his promise. Sealed by the blood of Jesus. The key to God's faithfulness, he is good. Good to us physically, emotionally, spiritually, collectively, individually. Good for our soul. Truly, his love does endure forever. He does not abandon his church. He has given us the words of Psalm 106 for an example to be a lesson. A life lesson for all generations, to realize the goodness of God has always been there and it always will be. And yet too often we are reminded of our response to those blessings, to his goodness. And yet because of his faithfulness, he keeps that blessing before us. He keeps it before us, not just through the words of Psalm 106, but through his entire word. And what does he say through the Apostle Peter? His word will endure. We're privileged to hear that word again tonight. And we're also privileged to partake of how else God reminds us of his goodness by partaking of the Lord's Supper. His love endures forever. He doesn't forget His church. And He doesn't forget you as an individual. He has promised to be good to you, to send rain on the just and on the unjust, and He does just that. On the news the other night, they were featuring the fact these young students got together, noticed that all this food from farmers was being wasted because of the supply shortages. The trucks couldn't get the food where it needed to be. They found a solution. And now that food is not being wasted, rather it is being given out to millions of people. And the farmers benefit, the people benefit. And those young men said, it's not because we don't have plenty of food. Didn't God say that? I satisfy the desire of every living thing. It's not that we don't have enough. It's that we don't always use well what God has given to us. And so, dear friends, as we reflect and also then renew ourselves to God, He's been good to His promises. God, keep us good to the promises we make to Him. He knows the very hairs that are on your head. Even if you can't see them, He knows. And you are worth more than the birds of the air. And if He takes care of them faithfully, how much more will He not take care of you? As you reflect back, you see how He has done that. Maybe not in the way that you wanted, but in a way that was sufficient and you needed. And He has promised to do the same as we move forward. His love endures forever. And that fact then moves us to praise His holy name. As the psalmist said, praise Him because He is good and His love endures forever. Praise His name by continuing to glorify Him here collectively and individually, whether that be in person or online, through corporate worship or individual devotions. His name is worthy of praise. And then praise His name by continuing to be salt and light. God has called us to be such. That's what He called the children of Israel to be, the salt and light of the people at that time. But too often they fell short of that. But God was good to His promise and He kept raising them up because He was true to His promise of the Savior. Are we always good at being salt and light in this world? Of attracting people to the church? Or sometimes when they hear us talk about the church or our family or the government, do they hear disgust? And why would it be a part of a God like that who leads you to talk like that? Thankfully, God can overcome that and does. And raises us up again to be His salt and His light, to glorify His name in the world, whether that be in a corporate setting or whether it be in the workplace or amongst family or friends or whether we be on our own. Because when we're on our own and how we talk and how we act and how we fill ourselves up, that's going to translate when we're in a group of people. So reflecting back, we have much to give thanks for. But we don't dwell on it. We move forward, living the present with an eye to what's yet to come. And so part of this New Year's Eve service is renewal. Dear friends, recommit yourself to glorifying God in the new year. What is it that kept you from gathering together in corporate worship in 21? What can you do to remove those obstacles in 22? Who did you invite in 21 to come with you? to worship, or it's a community connection event. Who in 22 can you re-invite or invite for the first time? What Bible study did you attend in 21? What Bible study are you willing to commit to attend in 22? How were your thank offerings in 21? True reflections of God's glory and blessing to you? How could that improve in 22? What kind of father, husband, friend, child, leader in the church? What were you like in 21? What goals do you have for 22? To improve, to be more Christ-like in whatever vocation or role you are in. Ask God to help you commit to that and to make good on that commitment. Not because you have to, but because we get to. Because we want to. For Him who is faithful to us through thick and thin, as evidenced in the past, as evidenced currently, and as promised for the future. You know, God puts blessings in each and every day. But sometimes because of our foolishness or stubbornness, we don't see those blessings, and so we miss out on the blessings. Ask God in 2022 to open our eyes to the blessings He will put in each and every day in the new year, and how those blessings can be used to glorify Him and to also be a benefit to those around us. God is faithful. He is good. His love endures forever. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We join in singing the last verse of Praise to the Lord the Almighty. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever.
Every day I will praise you and extol your name.
It is fitting, O Lord, in the final hours of this year, to express our gratitude for the countless gifts of grace we have received from you.
You have been faithful to your promises and loving toward all you have made.
You clothe your creation with beauty. You feed even the birds and tell us that we are much more valuable than they.
You know what we need and give us all our things.
Clothing and food, safety and health, possessions and money, even life itself, all these come to us from your generous hand.
We thank you for these blessings and ask that you continue to grant them to us.
We thank you especially for your word and Holy Supper, which strengthen our faith, shield us from temptation, and equip us for service.
Increase our confidence in you.
Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Almighty and eternal God, you have been gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. As you led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, so lead us by the light of your word that we may live our lives to your glory and be prepared to die in your peace.
We ask these things in the name of Jesus. In his name we gather here. In his name we pray to the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. As we turn to the sacrament, we start with the hymn, Lord, to you I make confession. In the name of our God, to whom all hearts are open and from whom no secrets are hidden. O Lord, hear our prayer. Listen to our cry for mercy. And in your faithfulness, come to our relief. Do not bring your servants into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Answer us quickly, O Lord. Our spirit fails. Do not hide your face from us, for we have put our trust in you. Show us the way we should go, for to you we lift up our soul. Teach us to do your will, for you are our God. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. O Lord, my God, I call to you for help and you answered me. I thank you for the love you have shown me in Jesus Christ, my Savior. Through him you have rescued me from the guilt of my sin and given me the peace of forgiveness. Help me fight against temptation, correct whatever wrongs I can, and serve you and those around me with love and good works. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now may this body which was given for us and this blood which was shed for us strengthen and preserve us in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and enter the new year with his peace, with his grace, with his confidence. For you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. May the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives. Amen. Page 14, our closing hymn.
Thank you.
little background music. Good to see you here in person. I know many of our members either are not able to or are not comfortable yet coming out with the pandemic, and that's understandable as cases definitely are on the rise. And so we keep one another in prayer and thought, and we give thanks for technology as we keep in touch with our members. A good number of them are watching and worshiping with us online. So we give thanks for that technology and those who help make it possible. So a lot to give thanks for in the 2021, as we now move into 2022, a lot of those blessings will continue, including keeping the choir singing. So wherever two or three are gathered, you are the choir, and we, by God's grace, remain faithful to His word, and then we take that word to those who are not here to encourage them as able to join us, or if they're not able to join us, just to encourage them to remain in that walk of faith with their Lord God unto eternal life. Taking it one day at a time, right? We pray that in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. And we can pray that with confidence because we also, by the grace of God, have an eye on what's to come. And so we know the victory is already ours. And so enjoy that victory each day. God be with you. Thank you.